I want to depart. We're going to continue in this group to study the Holy Spirit for some time. But I want to depart on something tonight because it's, I feel like it. No other reason. Mark 14. Verse 3. Bethany was a suburb of Jerusalem. There were several suburbs of Jerusalem. And Bethany was the Highland Park of Jerusalem. The city itself and all the suburbs of Jerusalem, even the poorer ones, was constructed for feast days. And that they lived in the bottom floor of the house, and on the top floor of the house was reserved for the pilgrims that would come during the feast days.
To use as
places to live. And to hold the Seder meal and to hide out. Later. Bethany was the rich place. Magdala was the red light district of Jerusalem. So Mary Magdalene, Magdalene wasn't her last name, it was Magdala, indicated the district that she was from. And they didn't ever say anyone was from that district unless they were prostitutes. So Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. But Mary came from, Mary was the black sheep of the family. Mary was the sister of Lazarus, who was probably Jesus, a relative of Jesus, but that's another story. When we're going to study the next time, if God delays his return, we're going to study a whole different aspect of Passover next year. And we're going to view Passover as though each of you were Mary Magdalene. And we're going to look at Passover from Mary Magdalene's standpoint and what her response was, because you're all a bunch of whores. And so we're going to see what the whore's response to Passover is, which is a whole other thing. But anyway, in verse 3, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Now if we look in another rendition of that, we'll see that it's Judas that was the murmurer.
Yeah.
Go to John 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Verse 6 was a addition to this text that occurred by a scribe at Ephesus about 300 or 400 B.C. A.D. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Now let's go back to Mark.
Judas is Simon's son here inside his house.
Judas is the son of
Simon. Simon the leper?
No, not Judas.
Yeah, it says, for Judas, Simon's son.
There's another Simon.
Might be a different Simon.
No, this is a different Simon. This is a Simon. That was a Simon from Galilee.
Which Simon?
Butch the
legs. And mine says Butch, often known as Caesar.
Verse 5, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone, why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good, but me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Now, I want to talk about waste and what you think about waste. And I'm not sure why I want to talk about it, but I think a lot of you are concerned with waste. Harry's always concerned with waste. Wasted time, wasted energies, waste on wasted efforts and activities and movement towards things that aren't productive. Ed is primarily concerned with the waste of his time, and therefore he's a workaholic. Rex is concerned with the waste of his life. Daryl is concerned with always trying to prove he's smart and everything, and everything that's not, but there's the concept of waste in every one of your views of life. And most of your concept of waste are internal, but for some of you, your concept of waste is external. In other words, you never conceive that you really waste time or waste something, but you're always concerned that other people are. And it's a very deep philosophical question. That science answered. Waste can only be seen as waste when you define for yourself what is good and bad, what has value. When science discovered that energy could never be created or destroyed, it could only change form, what that did from a spiritual standpoint is to prove that waste is impossible except towards the except towards the worship of an idol. An artificial system of thought, which is idolatry. Tyra's concerned that that our relationship has no. She's considering breaking up with me because our relationship is going nowhere. It's a waste. Barbara is concerned that she's wasting her life without a companion. You know, on and on. There's a thousand different things that every one of you are concerned about vis-a-vis waste. Wasted time, wasted lives, wasted energies, wasted money. Edric corporately is concerned that they've wasted their credit on this house up here.
The gray house.
The gray house. But do you understand that it's the from a very real standpoint, the concept of waste is the reason, and your response to that concept of waste is the reason that you experience anxiety. If you did not in any way and could never see that there was ever a waste, then you, for you, anxiety would be impossible. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now this is the lesson that Jesus is showing the disciples by the act of Mary, the prostitute. And I can prove that's the prostitute, but I don't feel like doing it tonight.
Well, Mary.
Well, it says, but there are more than one Mary in the Bible. But anyway, you got this gut instinct way down deep inside you that you're wasting something.
Well, that's what I said when I sat down here. And I said, "Does anybody have anything?" I said, "A vague sense of anxiety." You know, I said, "Stuff up because that's, I mean, that it's constantly with me." Not constantly, briefly, brief moments it isn't, but practically, it always is. Mm-hmm. And it is tied to that. You know, that's why I can't, you know, I've said that before, waiting in line to me is like a big waste, and I just start going nuts. Or I get all mad if I read something that doesn't have the element in it I was after.
Yeah. Well, this will touch the core of your being.
This is really been on my mind like that. I'm starting this new job, and I've got a new desk. I moved from City Hall to the main office. And I've got a bad desk. It's within clear view of the editor. I mean, the objective as a reporter is to get
to avoid the editor.
Yeah, it's to get behind a pillar or a big plant or a woman with a big hairdo or something. And so I scoped out the newsroom. You know, I got to find my little bunker, you know, to stay away from the insects, also known as editors. And the only one available was in clear shot of the editor. So I sit there all day thinking, does it look like I'm wasting time? And I had this anxiety of wasting time. You gotta look busy all the time. So my great fear is not to waste. It's to waste.
I don't know if I can find the words to communicate how seminal this is to the human being.
Well, it may not appear so to others, but you don't have to find the words. Yeah, I know I'm utterly ate up with this in a million ways. I don't throw away my grass clippings because
yeah.
They're useful. And if I, you know, just on and on.
This is, for me, it's fuel for the engine.
It's like, this is one thing I was thinking was Barb throwing away food at the end of Bible Center. She'll throw away food, and I'm just like, hey, Barb, don't do that. It's weird.
In Ariana, I mean, there's no way to eat everything on your plate.
Yeah.
Wow. They throw it away.
But here comes Mary, the whore, and she takes this bottle of ointment, and it's obviously from the response of the disciples, it's something that has been given to the community. It's in community. You understand what that means?
Wasted resources.
Yeah.
The son of his
so you could do that.
And she took this expensive, I mean...
Maybe someone gave them to, like, a tithe or something.
Yeah. And it's an expensive, expensive thing. And she pours it out. And the disciples, all of Judas's standpoint is yours. Mm. Look what we could have done with this.
It's worth more than that.
Now, I want you to be free of this. There's no such thing in God's economy for you ever again to have anything that's wasted. And you can't take it back. I mean, you have presented yourself as the living sacrifice. Hallelujah. And you, and it's only the trick. You're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. There's nothing about you that is yours. Everything is his. From before your mother's womb, there's never been a moment of waste. There's never been. And your belief system with regard to waste is simply the Holy Spirit of God. And the fact that you get anxious about it is simply the Holy Spirit and his primary work, his unseen work, showing you that that arena has not yet been seen as given up. Yeah. And so the very act of feeling like you're wasting something or something is being wasted around you is the act of the Holy Spirit of God in his gentle persona, in gentleness, showing you that that's the arena of your life that needs the renewing of the mind.
Yeah, waste by definition means something that isn't a step toward the completion of idolatry.
Yeah. Can you feel the freedom that can bubble forth from this? Is it, I mean, in one sense, you can hear this now as total. I mean, you could really get into a tizzy over this one. I mean, it's either all waste or it's nothing waste. Well, do you understand? Either everything you're doing is wasted, therefore has but one place, i.e. the dump, i.e. Gehenna, i.e. hell, or nothing about you is wasted. And you've presented yourself as a living sacrifice. There's no in between. You're either all his or all yours. A lot of this has been coming to me because, I mean, you can imagine how much time that I have wasted from my standpoint in the last 6 weeks. I can't do a damn thing. I can't even watch television because, I mean, I can't do anything.
Yeah, I was so surprised when you said the words of David Letterman the other night. Not like you'd failed or something, but that told me that you were in, like, headlocked up position, and that was basically the sum of what you could do.
And I can't even do that.
Just to get some relief.
But the thing that's been going on, it's like, man, if I let myself, I've been nothing but waste. Not only have I been waste, I've been waste and a burden on everybody around, because I always need help to do stuff. I can't drive, I've been a terrible burden on Tyra, I can't, you know. I'm a total waste. All right. Totally his. There's no in between. Amen?
Amen. That's what it comes down to, is running things here.
reminds me of that. One of my favorite stories, I don't remember what preacher said it, but and I've said it before, about when Paul was in prison and all he could do was write letters. I mean, you're not thinking of how much time he must have been wasting when he could have been out speaking to people and helping them out.
We think of Paul as some big spiritual hero. You know, in 21 years, the only evidence he wrote 8 or 10 letters. In 21 years, he didn't write any letters. It took him 21 years from the time he was a believer until he wrote his first letter. Then the rest of his life, however long that was, he wrote, 13 or 14, 15, I don't know how many letters. That's the sum total of his life.
A lot of letters, though.
Hmm?
I never would write something this long.
You were sitting in a prison.
Yeah. You'd have a little time on your hands to write.
No MTV.
God causes all things to work together for good to those that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. There is no thing that isn't working together for good, therefore there is no waste. Therefore, you don't even have to concern yourself with it ever again. You don't even have to give it the slightest little teeny little bitty breath. Oh, am I doing the right thing? Am I wasting time? Am I doing this? Am I doing this? I mean, I have fun with Harry because I invent the schedule. And then I watch Harry go crazy trying to meet the schedule. And he buys it.
Or you make it and then break it.
Oh, yeah, then I let him get to a certain point and I said, okay, Harry, we'll change it.
Tell Brian to go play golf forever.
Well, that's what God is doing to you. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. I mean, stop and think about it. Can you think of one thing in your life that God's doing, where God's in control, right? He's the boss. And he's giving you, through other people, all these little kind of schedule thingies. You got to do this by this, and you got to meet this demand, and you've got to meet this image. And God's up there saying, hey guys, you don't have to pay a lot of attention to it. I want you to redeem the time and see that nothing is waste, so you rest. I do the same thing to Harry and Barbara and Powell and Doug. I do it all the time. I do it with Doug, it's great. I invent some schedule and watch them squirm until I see that they don't have to squirm about anything. And then they get real serious. Oh, you just don't know.
Yeah, go ahead and laugh.
Okay.
Come spend a month here.
Oh, holy, if I just wasn't scared of you, that'd be free.
Who said that?
Various people.
We have several in different ways. But that's what God, can you see? Nothing is waste. You've presented yourself the living sacrifice. Nothing can ever again be waste.
Why is this so deeply ingrained in so many of us? It's like one of the central issues.
Because it's the only way that you had to establish your worth when you were that little bitty kid.
Yeah, I'm thinking about
you had to earn a gold star.
Now, it's even, when I used to have to carry out the trash, this is peculiar, I can remember this. Now, I had to carry out the trash, I was like 7 or 8, toting it out, throwing it in the trash. I look at all the stuff in the trash, and it was like, I felt really bad for all the stuff in the trash, because it was useless.
I was so like, you jumped in with it.
No, I like apologized to it for throwing it away. I was like, I'm sorry, you're useless.
Well, what you said, Harry, a minute ago about idolatry or something, it's like the thing that we think we are wasting, or when we get twisted about something being waste, it's like if that thing wasn't wasted, or if we had more of it, or whatever, then that is like a key to idolatry. It's like, okay, I need this right here, this little step up to my little, whether it's, you know, a career, if you're wasting time, or looking good in the eyes of other people, or whatever. Food, having enough, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, this is all, as Harry indicates, tied into leaven, but it's leaven is, that's just, that's another view of, look, this is a, this is a different kind of angle. I mean,
he tells me a couple weeks ago, okay, by July 1st, I want the backyard of the Enrique House, I want it to be a showplace, I want it to be a garden, it's got to be ready for the big party. So I buy into that, right? And now, I get mad at him when he tells me I can't do it. It's like, no, we don't have enough money to do all of it, we're going to have to cut it back. So I get mad at him, right?
I think about that guy we were talking about, you know, they're on the ranch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that really came against all my idolatry, I mean, and all this stuff. And it just seemed like such a waste.
Watchman Nee was, for those of you who haven't read his works, he was a great, great Chinese Christian mystic in, I guess, the 20s. And he only really wrote one book and then an appendix to it. And then his disciples took a lot of notes. And there's a jillion books that have his name to it. But he had this great future. I mean, everybody, I mean, he was like, he came from a good family and had a great education, and he had this great future, and everybody said how he was, what he was going to do, and he gave it all up. He just dropped everything, quit everything. I mean, and they just, you know, people said, oh my God, you're wasting your life, look what you could have done, look what you could have done for the Lord, you know, keep your, go ahead with your God stuff, but I mean, look what, and I, man, I can relate to that. I mean, when I mean, I had a great future. Now, some of you are still concerned about your future. This, tonight, it isn't a time to beat you over the head with it, to say you shouldn't be. It's a time to say you don't have to be. You can't waste your future. You can't waste tomorrow. You can't waste your past. Nothing that you have ever done is wasted in the eyes of God, and that's the only ones that count. You feel what I'm talking about? Now take it to the smallest arenas of life, like your livelihood. Who gives a fuck? I mean, there's nothing that can be wasted. You got to start seeing that. You know, and you may think you're in an apostate state of being. And you may think, oh my God, I don't believe anymore, everything's all screwed up. Well, look what the scriptures say about Moses. Moses killed an Egyptian. Therefore, there was a price on his head, and Pharaoh was chasing him, and he ran away. Right? What faith says about that, it's incredible. You got to hear this. Moses failed at what he was doing. He failed at his deal. He's running away from it. And Paul says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now, either one part of the Bible is lying here if you see it in the natural. You understand? The historical record with regard to Moses said he killed an Egyptian and fled for his life. The spiritual record of the life of Moses said that he refused the riches of Egypt, esteeming rather to suffer the reproach of Christ. Now, if the record were being written and the book of Acts were being written today, the spiritual record would say, and God spoke to Rick and told him to go to Seattle. And then God spoke to Rick and told him to come back from Seattle. The spiritual record of each of your lives would not look like you look at your own life. Do you understand me?
Yeah, because your record
is you attribute effects to all sorts of causes. Mm-hmm. I did this because of that.
And God only looks at one cause.
And it's always what progress toward or away from.
Or
idolatry.
Well, I was from a small town, so I went here and I did that, so I did this.
It has nothing to do with that. The spiritual record of your life has nothing to do with your view of what has happened thus far in your life or what will happen in the future. That's why you can never have any time you are not in a state of perfect rest, you know you're being lied to. Again, the only reason that you can leave the rest in this view is that you believe there is waste. Now, trust me. The reason you believe there is waste, it's the work, the unseen work of the Holy Spirit, gently revealing unto you an idol. And it's simply saying, Father, forgive me. I don't want to serve idols any longer.
Yes,
Matthew 26, verse 8.
Oops.
We're still talking about the idea of Mary pouring out the ointment. Verse 8. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? What use is this? God, it's always the well-intentioned people that ask the question of what purpose is this? It wasn't just Judas, it was all the disciples. True work of God can never, ever, ever be measured in results. It can't be seen. I'm just reminded of all my those 5 years and many times since then. well-intentioned people saying, why don't you do something with your life? And they'll say it to you over and over and over again. We are not of this world. We can never measure ourselves or compare ourselves. Fret not yourself because of the evildoer who prospereth in his way. And the evildoer, from God's standpoint, from the meaning of the word, is the one with self-effort. We are of a different nature. As Daryl allegedly said, we've been invaded by an alien virus.
I remember that.
You didn't say that?
I did say that.
Oh, you did say that. And we don't have to play this game anymore. But you're the one that has to stop playing it. That's what the renewal of your mind is. That's what this whole Bible is about. Capisce? All right. You're always, from God's standpoint, a hidden away people. No matter what it is that you're doing outwardly, from God's standpoint, you're a hidden away. I was thinking that I talked to the city council yesterday. Yesterday.
Which, by the way, if anybody wants to see after we got on tape,
is, and it was like I was up there, and Mayor Strauss started to say something else, and I almost laid into her. I mean, it was just a click of, and all of a sudden it hit me that I don't have anything to do with this. This doesn't matter. It's a ploy to get a piece of paper so that we can use the world but not abuse it. You can't abuse, do you understand? The word use the world, and do all of you know that that's in the Bible, or do you think it's just something that I made up? Huh? First Corinthians, chapter 7. For the other, as Doug would say, for the other guys, why don't you show us? First Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. What?
How did you find it?
Tara fires the first volley.
Ever. This will be the first of many volleys being fired.
I know. That was pretty good. How did you? I'm like, who said, how did you find it so quick?
He's like, he was drawn to it.
1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none.
Return fire.
Point killer foot.
And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it. For the fashion of this world passeth away. To use the world is the word that you would take, the idea that you would use a hammer. And to the abuse, not abusing. Abusing means to give, if the Greek word is to give breath or give importance to. To use the world, but never give it importance. And the definition that you're giving it importance is if you believe there is waste in it. Do you understand? It's pretty simple. Do all of you clearly understand in the spirit what Gehenna is? On the east gate of Jerusalem, there is the valley of Hinnom. And the valley, it's Gehenna, valley of Hinnom. And that east gate is where the waste materials of Jerusalem were dumped. And they put lime and fire and brimstone in there to burn the waste. And that's where hell is, the valley of Hinnom. It's the waste product of the New Jerusalem. It had use once, but then it used its use and its fit for the dump. The only thing that isn't fit for the dump is that which proceeded from God. Do you remember this? Did your time schedules proceed from out of eternity? Did your view of right and wrong and no. The only thing that proceeded from him was the only begotten Son of God. That's why Christ in you, the hope of glory. To know that is to know that you can't waste. You're bought with a price. There is no waste. Amen?
The whole time you've been talking about this, I've been remembering something I read in Timothy. Because I was thinking about the opposite of waste is gain. Now he's talking about perverse men with corrupt minds who are destitute of the truth who believe that gain is godliness.
Yeah.
It's pretty strong.
Perverse minds, destitute of the truth, who believe that gain is godliness. Do you realize how deep that is? Gain of anything. Gain of disciples. Gain of stature.
Gain of revelation.
If you believe that there is waste, then you must believe that you must do something. You must stir yourself, stir others. You must be your own spark. That's the theology that's directly from the depths of hell. And there's no amount of sincerity within you that can make it justifiable. I've got to do something. No. You stand still and see the salvation of God. Well, this will cut you to the core of your being. But it'll provide the freedom that you've always dreamed about. That's enough to think about for tonight. I gotta get in front. Take a big guy.